Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moved by the Holy Spirit. Years ago, he told me, he said, when I give you a word, I'm not talking to people's mind, I'm talking to their heart. That's why the broadcast is called Heart to Heart, because the Lord speaks to us in the heart. And I love him. I love his word. Many distractions are out there in the system of the world. Satan is the father of lies. And you have to understand there was always a negative influence against God. Even before the fall. That's why God told Adam to subdue. The fourth thing that God told Adam to do. These are the instructions of life, the cycle of life. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. So the fourth thing that the Lord told Adam to do, and remember, God is like a father to us. He is a father to us. He told his son Adam, his created son Adam, to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. And this means that we can do some mighty things. We have the ability to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Now, the first thing was to subdue it. And the enemy was out there. This is our first clue beside the devastation that Adam could see. See, the earth was judged. Wherever there's truth, there's evidence. But sometimes he'd find bones. He could ask God about them. See, he had an understanding of what death was. He didn't have an understanding of what sin was. But the Lord said, the day that you eat of this fruit, he told him not to eat of it, because in the day that you do eat of this fruit, you will surely die. And he ate off it, and he surely died. And we think of days as a 24-hour period. But a day with God is 1,000 years, and Adam lived to be 939 years. Now we have 6 days, and on the seventh day, we have rest. 1,000 years, Jesus is going to reign. Satan will be locked away. But for 6 years, Adam was going to reign. So we have to understand that we have our position out there. And Satan can't get us to go back to the world, but he can tempt us to be wrong in our thoughts and in our teachings. And every time any minister, the greater they are, the more damage it does. Anytime a minister is headstrong and attempts to build his way, the enemy will use his lack of knowledge, his lack of training, and his self-will to pollute the mindset of the people, get things off track. When people go to church and see an educated pastor, he went to seminary, he was schooled in how to relay a message. And then if it's an organization stick to voted guidelines that they voted on, that their founding father started, because they don't want the doctrine to be, you know, from their side, they're trying to do right. And they just don't want people to get out of balance. So the way that the founding fathers of these organizations They love Christ, they love Jesus, but they're trying to protect the church. But sometimes they adopt things that God didn't really do. There are things that people preach and teach as truth, and it's not. And then they drill their upcoming ministers to do the same thing. So now their thought process is no different than their predecessors. And it continues. It takes years for things to be different. And the only way to get rid of a lack of knowledge is more light. When people start operating according to God's word, they expose all lies for what they really are. And when people do this, it takes a long time to get back on track. It takes a very long time. So what has happened is the Lord had to raise up people to expose the wrong things and stick with the truth. So now you have a lot of independent churches. They're non-denominational because denominations, sometimes they restrict people from doing what God really wants to do. The enemy is behind it. And he always seeks to undo what God has done. And you might as well stick to the scriptures and you'll be fine. If you can stick to the scriptures, you'll continue to be scriptural and you'll be fine. Sometimes people will not agree with you. But when you live the light will work when darkness came. If you want your life to work, do the scriptures. If you want your ministry to succeed, follow God and stick with the scriptures. Remember, we follow God on two fronts, not one. The written word and also the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the spoken word. The enemy tries to, when we saw the church just start off strong in Acts, Peter, his first message, 3,000 people got saved. Now that was 3,000. Usually they count the men, so 3,000 men and their families. Or it may have said 3,000 souls. So at any rate, he had over 3,000 people. That's a lot of people. Then they had to be trained, and they had the apostles, and they knew who Jesus was. Many of them had already been healed by him. And now the apostles are doing the work of the ministry, and they're being healed by him and blessed. Now, the reason I'm saying all this is because the Jews didn't like them teaching in Jesus' name. So they basically arrested Peter and John after the lame man was healed. And they ordered them. See, the high priest had authority. They could put you in jail. They ordered Peter not to teach anymore in Jesus' name. And he said, "We can't but speak." And when they saw the boldness of Peter and the lame man standing there with him, they could say nothing. And the crowd was outside waiting on him to come back. And they feared the crowd, and they let him go. And they tried to bully him into not doing things the way Jesus did. But they did it all the more. Now, where did this pushback come from? It came from Satan. Now, in modern times, people have learned about God, and there are some people, they really love God, and they seek to do everything God's way. But they didn't know how important it was to follow God and follow through with what he says. And so what ended up happening, there was a compromise. After the days of Peter and Paul and John, the Romans tried to kill all the Christians, and that didn't work. And eventually they had a new Caesar to come about. And they tried to marry the church. In other words, they used some of their pagan ways and mingled it with the Christian truths. And some of our holidays are based on, you know, it's a blend of pagan holidays. And Christians kind of went along with it, and a lot of things formed to what it is now. And Satan didn't want people following God. People just wanted to get along. The enemy wanted to shut it down. You know, say people that love the world, they want to make the doctrine something that they would like. In other words, the enemy uses people's fears and hurts and weaknesses against them. But when you have a strong a reference for God's word, you rise above the snake line. And I love that reference that Perry Stone gave me. It was on. He did a wonderful teaching about living above the snake line. Because on elevated mountains, high up, there's a certain point that some species of snakes won't cross that elevation level. And they make a marker. When they stop seeing snakes, they put a snake line marker on some high mountains. Now, some people, I looked on YouTube, and sometimes it's 6,000 feet, sometimes it's 10,000, 11,000. But whatever it is, snakes can't rise above. So it is with the light. Darkness can't comprehend the light. And I love it. Now, as you go forward in the Lord doing this will, understand that the Lord has so much to say. And God is taking Pan back to his perfect will. Remember, the Lord's Prayer, he said, our Father who art in heaven. So God is alive and with us. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. So if it's God's will, if you ever get twisted about what God's will is, his will is for it to be on earth as it is in heaven, and it can start with you. If your body is sick, and you want to live, then you can believe God for healing because he provided it. He provided your healing. And you can be healed. And if you want to live long, you can believe God for long life. If you want to see God move, you can follow him. And you'll be blessed. If you want to be one with the perfect will of God, you can be obedient. God has something for everything you need. He loves you. And he has many references of his love just for you. He loves you and he cares about you. And he will do all that, you know, he will do his part. He will keep his word. You can do all that's in his heart. You don't have to waste your life being bullied by Satan and those who love this current world. But you can live the life of God. You can rise above. You can rise above the snake line. You can take authority over Satan. You can put him out of business in your life and in the life of your family. You got to speak the word of God in faith, and you can do it. The things of God is good. He thinks of everything. And he loves us all. So God told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, do the things of God, preach the gospel, take it where it goes, where you, to every nation, according to what God gives you. Now that's what he says to the whole church. But we have specifics that we should do. And we all share the gospel of the ministry of reconciliation. So you can do these things. It doesn't matter what man say and what they, you know, they'll say, you can't come to our country and preach the gospel. You believe Jesus and go wherever he send you and do whatever he give you to do, you'll be fine. Some people will say, well, what if I get killed? What if you don't? What if you obey God and a million people live and go to heaven? And then they kill you. If a million people get saved by you, by your obedience, it's worth it. I'm not trying to save my own life. My goal is to minister life to others. But the Lord has different roads for different people. And he told me years ago, he said, I've given you your life. I do dangerous things, and God gave me my life. That my life can't be taken, and it won't be taken. That's not how it is with everybody. Some people will be killed doing God's word. But they will live forever. We all will live forever. And I thank God for that. You have to do your own road. You have to walk your own road. You have to follow God. And it's best to be willing and obedient. I am determined to follow God. I don't care what happens to me. I'm going to follow God. However it is, that's how it'll be. But we're not without weapons. We have spiritual weapons. Ephesians chapter 6. We have to learn to use them. And we can pray for situations. Hearing these things, it makes you want to learn right. You have to put forth the right effort to learn correctly. It's a blessing when you do. Now, as a minister, as a man of God, I'm responsible for ministering to a lot of people. I do a radio ministry, a broadcast ministry, and I'm active teaching at my church, in Sunday school. Now, I don't want anything I say to throw somebody off track and be something that'll waste their time and that they can't use in life. I want all the word that I minister to be a blessing to God's people. When people teach wrong, it causes problems, unnecessary, terrible problems. And sometimes poor teaching and wrong teaching can cause people to become divorced. Things that were already about to fall, when people are taught wrong, sometimes they just tip over. And you know, one thing that's bad, that's just terrible, when people say, it sounds good too, when men of God and women of God say, God, we know that God is in full control. And then they'll even say, I don't know why God in his wisdom took this child. When people say God is in control and I've heard these things growing up and at funerals. But see, if God was in full control, then everybody would be saved and on one accord, whether they wanted to or not. But God gave us a will. We can follow him if that's what we want, and we cannot follow him if that's what we want. We can get saved and live in his perfect will, which is the best, his acceptable will, and his good will. It's good for people to get saved, even if they don't go out and win the loss like they should. At least they let their light shine and go about their daily routine. That's better than nothing. That's better than them being a sinner all their life. And then, you know, some people, they get saved, get called to the ministry, and then they try to order their own steps. And God want them to, you know, do one thing, and they pray and ask God to do something else. And God allow them to sometime. See, God wants people that's fully dedicated. And that's the, when you take, receiving, it takes a lot of discipline to do everything of God. And most people want to be obedient. At least they want to be obedient. And some people are determined to be obedient. And they're willing. When you're willing and obedient, now God can work with you. But because of false teaching that they've received, it's hard for them to get to the point where they're trying to go. Because even if you're very willing and very obedient and you're determined, and you want to, you decide, I'm going to do this, you're going to do all, I want to do all that's in God's heart. All right. The false information that people receive as truth slows down the process. Some people are endeavoring to do everything that God wants them to do. They just don't know how to fight. They never learn how to fight and resist the enemy. Now, I'm going to share, I'm going to make it easy for you. The easiest way to fight the enemy, first, you got to be obedient to God. Learn all you can from the Holy Spirit. Learn all you can from Him. Pay attention to what He's speaking to you the most. Now, the knowledge of God, think about a bookshelf. And the top shelf is the highest priority. Then the second shelf is important. And the third shelf, that's good information to know. And then so on down is not as important. To what you're trying to do. But the things that God tell you personally, the things that come to you, you didn't pray for it. The Lord just started giving you a vision or a teaching or a dream. These things come to you from God. You didn't ask for them. That's what you put on the top shelf. And you prepare yourself and you determine to do them. That's what I put on my top shelf. This is what I'm going to do no matter what. These are the things that's got to happen. We always win with sound doctrine. In 2 chapter of Titus, it greatly encourages us to always speak sound doctrine that can't be condemned. The best way I know to learn it is to receive God's word, have a healthy study habit. Once people teach you a concept as truth and it's received, from that point on, it becomes people read the concept into the Word of God. And they get a misunderstanding. Now, one thing that caused a lot of trouble that the enemy twisted is Paul's thorn in the flesh. People teach that, and once somebody that you greatly respect and honor say these things, then to most people, that's the truth. And they won't deviate because they don't like to disagree with people. People just don't like to disagree with leaders that they look up to. But the word didn't say look to leaders. It says looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You don't supposed to look to people. I don't have a right to look to my best pastors. I thank God for all the pastors I've had and friends in the ministry and ministers that I don't know that I listen to continually. I thank God for every one of them. And they have helped me to build a network Bible base that I believe. But I pay more I'm looking unto Jesus. And the reason, the way we do this is just hear the word of God. Hear, first of all, receive what Jesus said in the first place. And I always like to make things easy. If it don't fit Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, it don't fit. You know, a superficial grace doctrine has emerged, a false teaching, that once you get saved, you can live like you want to, and God, you'll go in the rapture, and you'll be saved. But it's not, the word is not written that way. And people say, they coined a phrase, once saved, always saved. That's true if you stay in Christ, because the word is written where we stay in Christ. We stay guided by the hand of God. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And sometimes in the way we think, adjustments have to be made. Because we pick up things some things that are true and some things that are not true. And the only way to overcome those things, is with the word. The word interprets the word. Now, in 1990, the Lord talked about it many times. He told me to read 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. Now, this took up some effort to do, but when I obeyed God and did it, a lot of the false precepts that I received, I saw them for what they were. See, a healthy study of the Word of God, the word is not something like my automobile manuals. When I was in school, we had books that showed you how an engine works, piece by piece. Now you study it and you remember it, it don't change. That's not something you have to feed your spirit. But the word feeds your spirit, and then we live from the word. That's where our faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing and hearing. And hearing the word of God over and over again. Same thing. Even the truths that we learn and embrace, we read them again and again. And we currently have faith in those truths. But when somebody teaches you a belief, then people try to prop up their belief. Now, the only time a belief will work is when it happens to be God's rightly divided word, or the intended meaning of God's word. When the concepts that the Holy Spirit was relaying to us, what he intended, he said what he intended. Now, even though the word has been interpreted from Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek to English, I speak English, or whatever language you hear that you speak, they use the best references in the translations. And the Lord knew that this would happen. So you're still safe. You don't have to be a Greek and Hebrew scholar to know what God is saying. The life of God's word, it made it through the translation. And I promise you it did. Because what he's saying is easy to understand. Now, if you have a problem with a word, like I have. Now they use their best words to portray what they were saying. And I'm going to give you an example. Jesus was walking, he was getting ready to heal somebody, and the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, and virtue went out of him. He felt virtue go out. Now that was the word that they used, the Greek word for virtue. And I looked it up, and the meaning didn't fit what happened. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how did you mean this word to be used? I said, what is virtue? Now, the interpreted meaning was honorable living. One time they said power. That's the closest reference. And I saw that. I got that reference years later. But when I first looked up the word virtue, all I could find in the concordance was honorable living.